Hello and welcome to this week's Manx Footy Pod, sponsored by Conister Bank. For the 28th episode of the season, myself and Dave are joined by, nobody. Dave, it's just me and you today.
Well, I suppose we figured we'd never top it after having Meps in last week, the godfather of punditry himself.
Yeah, to be honest, it's a bit of a drop the ball situation, isn't it? We were caught out slightly by a reduced week with good Monday, is that what it is? Easter Monday.
Yeah, excellent Monday.
Well, it wasn't a good Monday for us because we were in here. And, of course, I'm actually off tomorrow, which we'd also not thought about.
Exactly.
So we didn't get time to scramble the jets and get some sort of a guest in. So I'm going to call this, Lucy, our Commonwealth Games Special podcast.
It is. So you've mentioned it now.
That's it. That's the Commonwealth Games Special with the sole mention of Commonwealth Games. Of course, there are other things that we can preview this weekend. That's probably one of the reasons we are doing this. It's the start of the Keystone Moor Hospital Cup on Saturday and the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup on Sunday.
Well, it's a busy weekend, isn't it? It's a full hit.
There is lots of matches on this weekend. And we should suppose we kick off with the Hospital Cup. It's moved days this year. How do you feel about that, Dave? I know you're quite excited because you can watch Songs of Praise now.
I can. You know, it's a big thing for me.
It's moved from a traditional Sunday evening slot back into a more conventional Saturday afternoon, shall we say.
Yes, and I suppose the players are probably happy about that as well. You know, I've heard it in the past, you know, the players, when they play on a Sunday evening, they're kicking their heels a bit, aren't they, during the day? Yeah. So it's good for them. So, and yeah, there's a couple of interesting matches in store, I think.
There is. It has to be said, not the best draw.
No.
But there are a couple of intriguing matches nonetheless. My pick of the round in today's Manx Independent, if you pick that up.
It's a wonderful preview, mate.
For 90p. Which sees last week's beaten Goods Cup finalist, Moran take on Premier League Division Royal at Crosby. I think this has got cup set written all over it, to be honest, Dave.
Yeah, I would totally agree with this. Moran will be chomping at the bit to get back on the pitch after last week. They could argue they're a bit unlucky to lose that final. They played well for a lot of it, but at the end, Pulley just had the better of them at the end. But so on paper, this could be very close. Obviously, Douglas Royal are fighting for their lives in the Premier League.
Douglas Royal haven't won in a long time. They did seem to turn the corner. Maybe just around Christmas, was it? I think. But now they've turned another corner and gone back the other way a little bit. Conceded a lot of goals recently. I know they've played some of the top teams in that spell. This would be... Is it a welcome distraction or is it one they probably could do without?
To be honest, I think we talk so much about momentum. I think a cup is good for almost sort of getting that match sharpness, keeping it going a little bit. So I'm sure they'll be up for this. Royal themselves will see this as a winnable game, and that might just give them that much needed confidence going into the last few weeks of the season.
Well, this one should be a cracker. Royal, of course, didn't play last week because a lot of their number were away with the Ireland under-18s trip to the Northwest.
Yes,
I'm going to say
they did well, didn't they?
Yeah, they beat Crewe's National under-18s and then Manchester United Foundation under-17 teams quite comfortably, and then unfortunately their final game against Salford under-18s I think was cancelled because of a waterlogged pitch. Such has been the way this season.
Yes.
Even when you go off the island, you're hit by a postponement. But yes, obviously they've been played last week. This is, I don't know, I'm leaning towards Moran, but Royal, will their Premier League class shine through?
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, again, I wouldn't be surprised if this one went the distance, but having seen how Moran played last week, I was impressed with them. I don't know whether they're likely to be without Conor Gilbert. He got a second yellow card last week, so he was sent off. So I don't know whether he's out. But, you know, they've got a good attack there and a really good setup. One player who really impressed me was Joey Rothwell. Had a great game. And so he'll be key to them if they're to advance.
So if you're kicking your heels on Saturday, that's a 2 o'clock kickoff at Crosby. All the games bar one of the 10 prelim round ties are kicking off at 2 o'clock. We'll detail the 2:30 kickoff a little bit later on. Moving on swiftly, Corinthians versus Castan at Bella Fletcher. Has a smattering of cup magic about it, but of course Corinthians riding the crest of an FA Cup wave after Saturday's 3-2 win over Peel.
Yeah, we should probably mention that really, because you were at that game and they did well, didn't they?
They did, they played, it was a very even game, could have gone equally good on it either way. Last minute free kick from Connor, had an element of fortune about it, poor Christian got caught under it a little bit and it ends up in the back of the net, but that's football, as I think Sean Doyle alluded to in his post-match interview, which we'll listen to a little bit later on. But yeah, Castletown, again, they'll probably want to put a good showing up against a top flight team that they may be playing next year if results go their way towards the end of the season.
Yeah, you know, we only have to look back a few weeks ago. Castletown played St John's, and the first half gave a good account of themselves by all accounts. It was 1-1.
Mm.
Faded a little bit in the second half, but you would expect the fitness to come into it there. Mm. But yeah, they'll be looking forward to this. They are obviously massive underdogs going into it, but it might just make life interesting for Corinthians, and the Whites will have to be guarding against complacency, I think.
A very good point I was just going to make. Last week we talked about it prior to the game and in previous rounds. Corinthians perhaps didn't have that big match experience and they looked a little bit nervous in the semi-final against St George's. I have to say they looked a lot more composed against Peel at the weekend.
Yeah.
Now that hurdle's over, you know, this will be a different hurdle. They'll have to go against a team where they are favourites. I know they've dispatched Governors in the FA Cup prelim, I think, yeah. Some quite 8 or 9-0 or something like that. So they have played second division teams already this season, but it's a different feeling for them going into a game again where they're overwhelming favourites, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know how the teams are shaping up, but I imagine Richard Foden will be a big player for Castletown going up against Sean Doyle. But as we've alluded to in the past, Doyle likes those sort of battles, doesn't he? So, it could, if Corinthians score early, it could be a long day at the office for Castletown. But equally, the longer Corinthians go without scoring, Castletown will grow in confidence.
Well, fancy their chance. Again, it should be another close match, but perhaps with the hosts edging it. Paul Rose, Foxdale, Hattie has written reams about this one in the past. It game of the season when these two met in the league only about a month ago, wasn't it? 4-3, last minute winner for Pulley, wasn't it?
For Foxdale, wasn't it, I think?
Foxdale, sorry.
Jay Chatwood got the winner, 93rd minute, yeah. And again, we talk about Corinthians riding the crest of the wave. So Paul Rose winning the Woods Cup, it ended 40 years of hurt for them, as we like to say.
As much hurt as you can have with the Woods Cup, as it said.
Yeah. I mean, Pulley would be so fired up for this one. And I wouldn't be surprised if they won this one. Foxdale, obviously, they've had a couple of iffy results lately, but they are still right in the mix to possibly get promotion from Division 2. So, equally, they'll want to continue some form, get some form back, should I say. So, this one could be close and could go the distance.
Laxey Peel looks another potentially close game to me. Obviously, our favourite Peel for this one is Laxey's just haven't had the game time, have they? Again, they fell foul to a postponement in the week. You'd think away at St Mary's, that would be a game that a banker that would be on. But of course, it was a Tuesday night, so St Mary's didn't have the bowl. It was Groves Road. It was called off because it absolutely peed down. So, Laxey, I think, have only played twice this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough one for them. Again, don't know how their squad's shaping up. Although, I heard out on the rumour mill that George Burrows was in midweek action, wasn't he?
He was. Guested at my seven aside on Wednesday, scored an absolute couple of absolute screeches, not past me, I might add, and was definitely playing in second gear. But yeah, he'll be looking to get back. I think he had a run out for the Combi the week before last. So I think he scored a hat trick,
did he? I think he did, yeah.
So he'll be looking to get back into that first team mix. They'll give Peel a go at home, but I just think Peel, they should have it. They were a bit flat last week, Peel, and I think they'll be looking to address that with a good performance in the hospital.
Yeah, I agree. Laxey, I mean, I saw a post on their Facebook yesterday. There was a bit of standing water on their pitch. Mm. Now, I know today is dry.
Don't give away Dave Reed's weather. Yeah.
Fingers crossed the pitch has recovered a little bit, but I don't know, to be honest. So we'll have to just watch this space.
Away win for me, that one. St George's Onken. Onken must be wondering what they've done in the previous existence, because they keep getting St George's in the early rounds of the Cup competitions.
I know, it was 5-0 when they met earlier this year, wasn't it?
Colby, bizarrely.
It was. Obviously, that was a poignant day because they were remembering Hardy.
Yes.
Attentions will be a little bit more focused on the football this time, possibly. Geordie's comfortable winners, but Onken, you know, they are in good form at the moment. They were briefly top of the league last week. They've been knocked off the perch slightly now, but they're still in great form. And like Castletown, they just like to gauge their progress a little bit.
Yeah, and they'll just want to put in a performance that shows what they're about rather than getting the pace in, won't they? So, yeah, I think maybe not 5-0, maybe 4-3 or 4 for me this week. I think Geordie's got a big win midweek, didn't they? They hammered Braddon 11-0. And according to Eric, they started to show signs of Geordies of old, which is ominous as we go into the final third of the season, really, is it?
We should mention that. It's ominous that Geordie scored 11 goals and Kieran McNulty didn't get one.
Yeah.
But there was a familiar face making a return. Callum Morrissey came off the bench to get a goal in that game. So I wonder whether he'll play a part this weekend.
Yeah. So I think we're both tipping a Geordie's win at Glen Country Road there. St John's Ramsey. Now, this should be a straightforward St John's win, shouldn't it? But it was 0-0, wasn't it, when they met a couple of weeks ago. I think Rick Holden shuffled his pack a little bit for that match, and Ramsey took advantage to get a bonus point, as we discussed last week with Metz, one of his famous bonus points, to claw themselves a little bit closer to Premier League safety. Now, obviously, this is a cup match. St John's probably, you think, will be wanting to have a bit of a cup run. They got to the last four of the FA Cup. There's no reason why they can't go that far in the hospital cup, is it?
Yeah, completely agree. You know, they've got the players there to do it. They gave it a good go against Peel in the FA Cup semi-finals. I think the thing is, St John's, they didn't play in the week. They were due to play Royal last weekend, which, as you already mentioned, that was called off. So I think they'll just be desperate to get back out there now as well. But yeah, this could be interesting, but I have to favour the Saints to progress.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that one, Dave. Braddon versus Old Boys, another one of the All Premier League affairs. These two actually only met in the league on Saturday, wasn't it? And it was a 5-2 win for Old Boys. So.
Certainly was. Gary Quirk continued his good form. He got a couple of goals, joined on the score sheet by Dean France, Danny Corran, and an own goal.
Dean France has come back in the team and scoring for fun. I think he's scored a couple now in the last few weeks.
He has. He's doing well. Good on him.
Braddon, licking their wounds, 11-0, pasting at the weekend. They've just got to get out of their system as quick as they can. This game, again, the Aussie Cup's not their priority this season, is it? Premier League safety. They just need to... the buzzword of the season, get some momentum behind them,
yeah,
and a good performance at home to Old Boys would hopefully, you know, accrue some of that for them. I think Old Boys probably just gonna, I don't know if it'll be a 5-2 again. I can see this being a little bit closer,
yeah,
but I think Old Boys may just edge it somewhere.
I completely agree. Braddon, you know, I think they'll put up a good fight in this one. Don't forget, it's a mini derby of sorts, really, isn't it?
They're only a stone's throw away. Well, if you're Joe Harris. Commonwealth Games mentioned.
Hey, bing! Did another one. So yeah, obviously Old Boys will be favourites, but I think it'd be interesting to see what team they put out. I'll allude to it a little bit later on, but Old Boys Combi side was pretty strong last week.
Yeah.
So obviously whether they're gearing up towards the Junior Cup, but we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. St Mary's Michael United looks a fairly straightforward home win for me, that one.
This should really be the biggest win of the first round, I think. But, you know, we have mentioned it a few times. Michael are improving a lot lately.
Dogged.
They are dogged. And I think they'll just want to put in a good performance and hopefully hold off the onslaught.
Yeah.
But, you know, Alex Harrison's got St Mary's playing well, so this should be a fairly straightforward win for them.
I spoke to Alex after, I think, the FA Cup win over air, or maybe before that, and he said they were targeting the Cups now.
Yeah.
They'll want to go further, obviously, than the prelim round, and they're probably going to go further in the quarters and possibly even in the semi-finals. They'll want to be in the mix there. Against air in that FA Cup match, the big pitch came into play at the bowl. Michael air tired, Michael are tired. I think, if you know, even if it's tight after half time, it's going to the St Mary's will use the ball to their advantage and win this one quite comfortably.
Yeah, we can't forget that Steve Wiesel's in cracking form, isn't he? So
arguably, yeah, and possibly in the running for the Player of the Year.
Exactly.
Rycob Gyms, Division 2 clash. Rycob are all over the chippy, aren't they? I'm not being funny. They started really well against Pulley in the week. I think they were 1-1, 2-1.
2-1 up, and I think... Oh, no, maybe even 2-0. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so... I don't know. Inconsistencies plagued them this season. I know we've mentioned it many times. They will go into this confident, but, you know, they just need to get a bit of consistency. They've been cut adrift a little bit in Division 2. I know Hattie said in his match report this week he thinks that's it now for their promotion hopes, or even top four hopes. Which you could possibly agree with, although a couple of wins could change that. But yeah, if they're out of the running for the Gold Cup, then this is their one big chance, really. So yeah. you know, they'll be confident of getting a win here to go through to the next round.
Yeah, Jim's, well, yeah, as I say, it should be confident of being a Jim's side that's toiling a little bit at the bottom of Division 2. There's some good kids there at Jim's. It is coming, Tony keeps telling us, isn't it? But it hasn't quite come yet.
Yeah, not quite yet. But they put up a good fight against Union Mills last week. It was only 4-2 to the Millers. Adam Johnson and Daniel Keeley got the goals for the Tremode outfit. So we know they're good players and they have got talent in the squad. So again, this could be another one there where they just want to take the pressure off the league almost and just enjoy the game, hopefully.
Yes, be hoping the mountains open as well, I presume. Last game in the last tie of the preliminary rounds is Governors Athletic take on Union Mills at Bemahague. This kicks off at slightly later at 2:30, obviously to do with the Bemahague booking time. Governors, can they get a result out of this? Mills will be fancying this, won't they?
Yeah, they certainly will. I mean, Mills have been inconsistent, but they have shown improved a bit of form lately. So, you know, and when we had them in a while ago, you know, it's all about sort of building the form towards the end of the season to take through to the next season. So they'll be targeting this as a stepping stone in the right direction. Yeah, the Millers should be too strong, but Governors, yeah, you never know with them, and especially at home. Might just fancy surprising the Millers a little bit.
I think your faith is misplaced, Mr. Norton. But yeah, I'm going for a Mills win in that, especially with the likes of Booth, Colm Garrity and alike in good form at the moment. There's a couple of league games on Saturday afternoon as well. In the Premier League, Douglas Athletic take on Rushen. A little bit of a dead rubber, isn't it? But Rushen, of course, still in with a shot at Railway Cup. They look fairly... If you're a betting man, you'd say they were there at the moment. This game is terrible research, but I don't know if it counts towards that, to be honest.
I'm not sure if it does, but with Dafka, the pressure's pretty much off them now. You would like to think they're safe. They've got 25 points on the board with 5 games remaining, so I think they can just start to adjust to life under Craig Purvis a little bit more. Obviously, they've changed manager recently. He's got them playing good football by the sounds of it, so they'll just be, you know, hoping to build upon that. But this will be a tough game, obviously, and Rushen, Josh Kelly in particular, is in good form. So, yeah, I would expect the Spaniards to win this one.
And of course, they've got Liam Cowan calling the shots at the moment until the end of the season. He's had a good start, beating the Corinthians, and to his managerial reign, he'll be wanting another W in the column this week, won't he?
Absolutely. So I think, good on him. He's made that transition pretty smoothly.
Yeah. Division 2, one game sees Malou take on Douglas and District at 2:30. Same with the Premier League game, that kicks off 2:30 as well. This one, to me, is a bit of a dead rubber.
Yeah, I mean, Malou... mathematically still in with a shout at getting top 4, but they've already played 20 games and the teams around them have only played 16-17, so I imagine once those extra games in hand have been played, Malou will be cut adrift a little bit. D&D have had a good season. They're currently on 20 points, so I think in this one, you know, they'll just want to test the Malou side and maybe get stuck in there, but I think Malou last week apparently lost their discipline a little bit against Castletown. Right. They ended the match with 9 players, so I don't know who's going to be missing for them. So D&D may just sneak something out of this one, but Malou will start as favourites.
Right, so before we look ahead to Sundays, and I should stress that Sundays Junior Cup ties, let's have a listen to what Sean Doyle had to say after last week's dramatic FA Cup final win over Peel. Sean, 3-2. What a way to win it. Last minute, free kick from Connor. I don't even know where to start, mate.
Honestly, I feel it's every game for us every season. No matter what, it seems to end in some sort of spectacular way. But yeah, can't believe it, but we're absolutely made up.
Yeah, can you believe it? You know, everyone went bananas in the final, wasn't it?
We were always confident we were going to win it. Obviously, we went into the game confident, but we didn't think it was going to win it in that sort of way, to go behind 1-0 and then for them to get back into it 2-2. We didn't think we were going to get a last-minute winner, but yeah, it's the way football goes sometimes.
Having watched the semi-final and then today's game, you looked a bit more composed today. I don't know what it was, but there was none of the nerves that were there last week.
We sort of, obviously when you come up against Geordies, it is a nervous occasion because obviously of how good they've been for the last 10 years, whereas I think it was sort of drilled into us for the last week or so, just sort of try and keep our confidence. We're here for a reason. It's not as though we're a bad team who somehow fluked away to the final. We're a good team of good players, so we sort of tried playing with confidence and keeping our heads.
And there was no hangover from Tuesday night's result?
No, that was Dean Mac made sure it was, as soon as Wednesday came, we forgot about the game and just moved on to the next game, as we do. No matter whether we win or lose or draw, no matter what, we move on to the next game and take each game at a time.
And how's this set you up for the rest of the season now?
As Dean Mac, I try to repeat Dean Mac as much as I can, but we're not getting too far ahead of ourselves, to be honest. We're just sort of taking these games at a time and seeing how we get on. And obviously, we'd like to do better in the league. Rushing loss at midweek was obviously a bit frustrating, but each game at a time, sort of thing.
And what a stat. First time you've beaten Peel since first team since 2002.
I know, since 2002. That's when I was 6 years old playing for Corinthians, so it's a long time ago. But no, we're made up, obviously. No matter what team we play, obviously, it's going to be a tough game in the final. But yeah, we're absolutely buzzing.
Well, I think you deserved your beer, so yeah, we're going to enjoy it.
And one quick thing while we're here. I want to quickly congratulate Ben Qualtro and Kara's today. And also the news of Joe Motney and Helen Doolan, who are having a kid on the way soon in the next couple of months. So congratulations to them both.
Great night ahead then.
No, we're going to get crashed the wedding now.
Cheers, Sean. Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Right, welcome back. It's a slim down podcast this week. There's no biscuits.
I'm just so disappointed.
There's no guests. There's just me and you, Dave. There's less coughing, I have to say.
This is it, but less effort by then. So, I have to say, it's probably because I've been holding on to the Agent Rashid mug all day closely to my chest. I think that's worked wonders.
Well, it's nice to see you finally got over the tuberculosis. Let's kick off. We'll have a look now. There's 10 ties in the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup prelim round. Now, of course, these have been switched from Saturday now to Sunday afternoon.
Yes, just to confuse people.
So. Yeah, so they're all 2 o'clock kickoffs on Sunday. So if you're kicking your heels on Sunday, you can go and watch some of the combination's finest doing the best. Now, I'm going to be a little bit led by you here, Dave, because it's Combi Corner come home to roost this, isn't it?
Well, you could say that, yeah. I mean, I don't really know where to start with this one. I think there are some interesting ties in here. I think one of the sort of standout ones, maybe, you've got St Mary's v St George's.
Yeah.
Obviously, St Mary's won it last year. Now, they haven't done as well as they'd like to in Combi 1 this year, but, you know, they'll fancy their chances of getting off to a good start against Geordies. But Geordies themselves are doing well. They're up to fifth in the table. So, again, this one could be quite close.
Yeah, and Geordies, I think, are benefiting from a few of their younger talents home for Easter, as it were. Whether they're still here remains to be seen.
Exactly.
But, yeah, this should be quite a close game. I don't know whether this will be played at Groves Road or the Bowl, to be honest. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I haven't heard yet. I don't know what the slot's like. But, yeah, there's... as far as I know, the women's games this Sunday, they are due to be played at Douglas Road and Station Fields.
So there's none on the Astros. The Astro Turf might be available.
Russian and Old Boys are obviously they're flying high in Combi 1. Russian are the runaway league leaders at the moment, but Old Boys do still have a chance. So it'll be interesting to see whether both those sides will want to have a crack at getting a league and cup double. Russian kick off with a potentially tricky match at home to Moran, although they will obviously start as favourites in this one. Whereas Old Boys, again, they'll be red-hot favourites. They're at home to D&D at Blackberry Lane, but I don't know what sort of state the pitch is in there. So.
Yeah. D&D, Combi 2, back-to-back clean sheets. I don't think it'll be another one, do you?
Well, it'll be tough for them. Big ask, but you never know in Max football, do you?
Pick of the ties with my lay eye was that I thought Onkin St John's has potentially got a bit of a cup set on this, and obviously Combi 2 on can take on Combi 1. St John's, this game has been switched to Mullany Coy because of the spiritual home of stock car racing is under about 3 foot of water at the moment. So, can Onken potentially pull something off?
They're doing well, you know, they're flying high in second in Combi 2. They should be full of confidence. St John's, a bit of an unknown quantity, really. You know, they're down in sixth, I think, in Combi 1. So, you know, they're not having a fantastic season, but they will certainly go into this as favourites. But, you know, Onkin may just pull off a cup set here, I think.
We'll have to see. So that's 2 o'clock at Mullany Coy. What other games? Oh, Colby versus Peel. Now, Peel haven't had the best season. They're always just one of the powerhouses in combination football, but they've toiled a little bit this year, haven't they?
Yeah, they're lying fourth at the moment, and they're not really going to climb any higher than that. They're They're 8 points behind Corinthians in third, so I think fourth is probably as good as it's going to get for them in the league. But they will go into this as massive favourites. I think last time they met, was it 9-0 to Peel? I think it was a big score. So, yeah, I think it could be a long day at the afternoon, at the office for Colby.
Peel tend to have a bit of a love affair with the Junior Cup, don't they?
One game which could be potentially close is Douglas Royal v Braddon.
Yeah.
I think this is... I mean, Douglas Royal will start as favourites. I think they won 3-1 last time the sides met back earlier in the season. But in the table, there's not much to separate them in a way. I think Royal are 11 points clear, but also Braddon have played 3 games less, so it doesn't tell the whole story, I think. And I wouldn't be surprised if this one was a close match, but I think the Whites should come out on top.
Another close match to me looks Michael United versus Govan Athletic in that tie at Balera Road. Both teams quite evenly matched.
Yeah, I would say so. They're both down near the foot of the table. But I think Governors will start this one as favourites, despite being the away side. Obviously, conditions can always be a bit of a leveller up there, so it could be interesting. But yeah, no, this one should be close, but Governors should get the win.
Ewan Mills, Douglas Athletic. This pitch is a Combi 2 side against Combi 1. Combi 1, good win for Douglas Athletic last week. I think they beat Corinthians, didn't they?
They did, and they're going well, actually. They're up in 7th in the table. You know, they're mixing it with the likes of St. John's and St. George's, so they're doing well. You know, I think they'll be confident of progressing through to the next round. Again, don't really know how the team's going to pan out with that, but, you know, I think this should be a win for them.
Air United versus Laxey. Laxey should start this one as favourite, shouldn't they? There's a division between the two teams here.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot about Laxey's youth squad and young players that got their disposal there. So I think it should be quite a comfortable win for them, to be honest.
And then finally, Foxdale take on Moran at Billy Goat.
Milou.
Sorry, yeah, I'm getting the Mers wrong.
Foxdale's Combi not had a good season. They're third from bottom. They've already lost 13 games this season, so they're not having the best of times. So obviously Malou will go into this as favourites, and I think it'll go with the form book, to be honest.
Right, thanks for that, Dave. Right, now, you spoke to Pulley's successful manager, Paul Guyver, who ended 40 years of hurt, as you've already told me, helped end 40 years of hurt in last week's Woods Cup final win over Moran after their success. Didn't you?
He was on good form. I have to say he did really well not to swear.
Yeah.
You know, I think he was obviously delighted, and I think he just wants to use it as a stepping stone. Now, I think they are positioned where they could potentially still get promotion. Mm. And so I think obviously we've already talked about it, they got another win in the week, so yeah, it's onwards and upwards as far as I was concerned.
Let's have a listen to what he has to say now.
Paul, you're here. Paul Rose, Woods Cup champions. Tell us, sum up your emotions right now.
Without swearing, mate, I'm on top of it. I'm on cloud nine's not high enough, mate. I'm absolutely buzzing. I'm happy for the boys because they put the effort in week in, week out, mate. We play football, that's all we do, and I can't ask anymore. I'm just so proud.
Yeah.
It took me a long time. I've been at fourth year doing this now, and you know, days like this, it's just worthwhile, mate. I'm just proper buzzing.
Well, I first spoke to you as a Pulley manager a few years ago, and you said then that it would be a Pulley revolution.
I did, didn't I?
And I think it really has well and truly started now, hasn't it?
Kicking in now, mate. Even like the kids that are coming through as well, like, everyone's just, it's class, mate. We just play football.
And yet you really had to dig deep today, because Moran were the better side for the first half an hour.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, one chance, one goal. Steve Glover, you know you can do it. And then after that, I mean, when they came back, took the lead, did you think it wasn't going to be your day then?
No, I knew it'd be our day, mate. I said, we got in at half time, I said the first 15 minutes I knew it'd be that way.
Yeah.
I knew it'd be tricky. I knew that nerves were kicking, but once we got our goal, we settled down and we just played football, mate. And then at half time we come out. And we started straight off again, and the lads dug deep, threw all the sleeves up, asked him to do, and everyone was a hero.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Well, quite a few people had sort of, I mean, there was not much to separate the two sides at all.
No.
Even before going into the game, people didn't know which way to go. I think Moran were the slight favourites.
Yeah.
Do you think the underdog tag kind of suited you guys?
Yeah, not to lose, mate. No one tips the start of the year to do anything. So we're quiet, we were just cream at the table. Today's the start of. Could be anything this year now.
Yeah.
I want the next two trophies as well.
Onwards and upwards for promotion.
And I want the league as well, mate.
I know Paul Henry's down here, he's a happy man today,
yeah,
isn't he?
Is, mate.
But, But yeah, and obviously a word for Stewie Morris with that save right at the end. I mean, how did he pull that one off?
I'd have caught that. I don't know, mate. He's rolled back the years, but that he just he don't know where he got it from either. I said to him, where did that come from? He doesn't know. But
well, you are a winner. Well done, mate.
Thank you very much. Get in. Cheers, Dave.
Right, welcome back to the last part of this week's podcast. It's a bit of an omni-shambles today, Dave, but we've got an interesting tweet. Did you see this from our podcast favourite, Joe Andrews?
I did see this. What's your take on it?
Well, I'll just put people in the picture, so to speak. He tweeted last night. There's been a series of frustrated tweets, I'm going to call this thread, from Joe Andrews this week about kickoff times, yeah. Pitches, every thing under the sun, really. But last night he put a vote on his Twitter, I think it was last night, and it said simple question: will you be playing Manx soccer next year? And the 82 people voted, and 65% said no.
Really?
Which is quite impressive. We don't know, you know, obviously who voted or anything beyond that, but do you think this is the feeling among footballers, that they're tired of Manx football? You know,
Well, it's difficult to say, you know, I think we need to more votes for more people, really, but it does give a bit of a damning insight into it. And I can sort of see where Joey has come from this, because obviously they were due to play, they played Geordie's the other night, and it was a 6:15 kickoff, but he didn't get out of work until 5:30, and I think he was alluding to the fact that he wouldn't get up to Glencoetree Road until...
And have a proper warm-up,
yeah,
and such like.
Which, you could understand, it must be frustrating for him.
To flip that though, we've got to get the games in. There's no thing about that. Any later than that, unfortunately, still we're only a week after the clock smoke forward.
Exactly.
So, it wouldn't happen, would it? I think
it's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, you know, Meps is doing a great job trying to fit everything in. Mm-hmm. You know. You know, we look at Brad, and we've already mentioned it. They've got, I think they've still got 8 league games left to play this season, and we're in early April. So,
but two of the other talking points, if you will, that were kicked off by this tweet were also that clubs are maybe a bit precious about their pitches. I'm not so sure. The weather we've had has been incessant, really.
It has.
It's even now. It used to be it just rained on Saturdays. Now it's raining on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So there's no. It's like it moves in on mass. For those days, and the other point that was made is that this is all because we kicked the season off after the Festival of Motorcycling. Now, I can see people's frustrations and why it'd be easy to pin that, but we tend to always have postponements anyway because the mountain roads closed.
Exactly.
And it's not wanting to be too puntastic. It's the perfect storm almost, isn't it?
It is. Nice pun. But you know, the clubs have a say in this at the start of the season, and from what Meps was saying, they voted for it to kick off late, didn't it? And you know, the other side of it is that at the start of the season, there's sometimes a shortage of refs, and on players or
on
the
a
teams
holiday.
Are not, yeah, exactly. The teams are not full, and you know, we look at how there are such fine margins.
Yeah.
What if Braddon missed out by a point or whatever, and they were relegated? And they played a game at the start of the season where they were missing half their team.
Yeah.
How would they look at it then? I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate, but you have to sort of look at both sides, don't you?
Yeah, correct. I think the other thing that was kicked around, sorry, the third talking point was again the three league argument. Now, I've always been an advocate of three leagues, but having heard what Mep said last week, the possibility of going for FA VARs, qualification in the future, and we'd need a 14-team top flight for that to happen. Unfortunately, to get one, you have to sacrifice the other. How far we can progress with that will have to be seen. That almost, unfortunately, takes the legs away from the other argument.
It does. And I think it's good, though, that the FA are being ambitious with this. Mm-hmm. And I for one, would be delighted to see Max sides competing in the VARs.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it gives the clubs and the players something extra to work for. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be interesting going forward if it happens.
Right, from the sublime to the ridiculous, Combi Corner.
Very ridiculous. Right, obviously we talked a lot about the Junior Cup already, but there's only been a smattering of Combi games over the last few days. There were two last weekend. Old Boys kept up their title hopes with a 4-1 win at home to Laxey. Sam Queasley got two, and Robbie Ward and Darren Hudson got the other, so obviously it was quite a strong team.
Yeah.
Maybe angling for some Junior Cup, I don't know, but either way, what that does is they're still considerable distance behind Rushen at the top, but they actually followed it up with a 4-0 win at Braddon on Wednesday, so that puts them 7 points behind Rushen, but they've got two games in hand. Mathematically, still in Rushen's favour, but psychologically, the gap has been closed. Mm. You know, whether that plays in Rushen's mind, I don't know, but it makes it slightly interesting anyway. The other game happened last weekend. Geordie's moved into the top five thanks to a 4-1 win of their own away at St John's. They've no doubt in the star of the show. Johnny Quirk backed himself a hat-trick, and Mark Connor got the other goal. So yeah, the Geordies are doing well at the moment. Away from the Junior Cup, the big news this weekend is that Youthy can all but seal the Combi 2 title on Sunday.
Right.
On Sunday, no less.
Adrian Rashid will be getting the open top van ready.
Exactly. It's a rare Combi game on a Sunday. Mm. Kicking off 2:30 at Skolrigori. They're at home to Castletown. And victory will put them 14 points clear of Onkin. Onkin have 5 games to play, so 15 points right. to play for. So it would be all but
maybe not the bunting up, but it's getting they're getting it out of the attic, aren't they?
There you go.
Any other business, Dave? Did you see that Liam Doyle helped Nashville to their first ever win at the weekend?
They did so well, didn't they?
They won 1-0 against Bethlehem Steel.
Yep. So
what a name that is.
It's a cracker, isn't it?
1-0.
I haven't seen his highlights package yet this week.
No, he hasn't put that up yet, but obviously it was a clean sheet in there, so I'm guessing he was a busy lad.
Yeah. Well done, Liam.
Yeah, well done, Liam. If you're looking a bit further ahead, the game's coming thick and fast now, aren't they, Dave?
Is that a big game next week?
Yeah, next Tuesday, St George's take on Corinthians in the Premier League, one of the Premier League's three games. Three or four games, I think, on Tuesday. Or it might even be more than that. I've just picked the number 3 out, and I think I'm wrong. So don't quote me on that, but this is definitely one of the games that's going ahead on Tuesday. St George's versus Corinthians on Tuesday evening. Big game.
Big game.
Are we calling it a title decider?
Potentially, yes. I mean, win for Geordies, one hand on the title, you'd almost argue. But win for Corinthians, and there's no reason why they can't after the other week. Mm. Well, it makes it interesting again. I have to say, I think Geordies will be they'll have wounded pride. I think they'll be well up for this one, and it's going to be close. But I wouldn't be surprised if Geordies got just about edged it.
Ooh, it's going to be close. I think that's where we'll leave it for this week, Dave. Remember, you can listen to all the Conister Bank Manx Footy pods at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football, as well as on that there iTunes. Right, we're going to try and get a guest next week, are we?
Yeah, maybe. Are you on Ireland next week?
Yeah, I'm anyway. I'm away Friday and Monday and back.
Ah, fair enough. Okay, well,
I'm off to the Commonwealth.
Of course. Well, you mentioned it again. It's a Commonwealth podcast. Well done.
Right, until next week.
Ta-ta for now.